guys. This is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. Hey guys, welcome to this episode. We are doing a special spotlight on Talisman Brewery. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Talisman. They're out of Ogden, Utah. I've been seeing a lot of their bottles in Harmon's and in Winco.
Smith's even.
Smith's, yeah. And I came across them a couple months ago, had their chocolate milk stout because it had udders on it. I forgot what it was called. Let me look that up.
I think like Utterly Delicious or something.
Something like that.
It's Utter Comfort.
Utterly Delicious.
Utterly Delicious.
Let's see what it is. There's a chocolate milk stout from Talisman. It is called the Utter Chaos. That's what it was. So their milk stout. I had it and I was like, okay, this is different. All right, and they have cool bottles.
Yeah, they do.
They're big bottles. All
cool, like animated labels.
Yeah, animated labels. We have three of them in front of us right now. We have the Creation, which is a Kristallweizen beer, also known as a.
It says Hefeweizen on this one.
It says Kristallweizen. It's supposed to be a Kristallweizen on the website. It is supposed to be a Weiss beer.
Kristallweizen. I don't know what that means.
So then we have the Killer Grove, which is made with blood orange. And then we have the Coming In Hop, which is the Sessions Wheat IPA. So, Wyatt, what are you opening for us today?
I say we start with the Hefeweizen, Kristallweizen, or whatever you said it was.
Yeah.
What's the Kristallweizen?
I haven't either. It's they have style Kristallweizen or Weissbier is what they have on their website.
Ooh.
But this one says it's 4%. The one we're opening is actually 5%. And it says on the bottle that it is a Hefeweizen.
It does.
So I know.
It's got a cool picture. It's got two hands holding a beer bottle, but it's like the, what is it, like God and Adam? Is that what it is?
I'm not sure, but like is that in the...
Like the hand of God reaching
down. Hand of God reaching over, touching the human.
Yeah, but it's just two beers that look like they're about to clink. Clinky.
But I'm excited for this one. This one, me too. I like a good Hefeweizen or Kristallweizen beer.
I wonder if they called it a Kristallweizen because, look, crystal clear.
I mean, it does have that straw. It looks kind of strawy orangey, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking up right now. So Hefeweizen obviously is that the wheat, right? Hefeweizen is wheat beer. Kristallweizen, it means crystal wheat, refers to the wheat beer that is filtered to remove the yeast and wheat proteins which contribute its cloudy appearance. So it's basically just appearance. Like, I mean, that's a good guess, Wyatt.
Be the ball, Danny.
I mean, off the nose.
The creation of man was the gift of life, but also the gift of knowledge. Man used that knowledge to make beer, which was one of the first intoxicating beverages enjoyed. Our creation is a light and easy drinking wheat beer that is refreshingly crisp with mild hints of banana and clove.
And you definitely get clove on it.
Cheers.
Cheers, bro.
I'm glad. I am. Every time I drink a wheat beer, I want that banana clove, like Hefeweizen flavor. And even if it's like an American wheat beer, I just am always wishing that I had some banana clove flavors.
I mean, it's beautiful. I know.
I get a lot of banana on the nose.
Right. I don't like banana in life. Like, I don't eat bananas. I don't go out of my way for bananas. I hate bananas. But I like bananas. That taste, that flavor that gives off in Hefeweizens or those wheat beers, right?
So that this one. Esther. Whoa.
This one's, I mean, it's got banana for sure. I think it's a little heavier on the banana than I was expecting.
It's very, like, crisp and surprisingly dry. You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever tried a Zwickel beer?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember dry. Strap Tank had the Zwickel Weiss for a little bit. They made with Bewilder, the Bloody little Wilder. Combination.
Yeah.
And Zwickel means young lager. So like a beer that's lagered. But usually in a lager beer, you let them lager is what it's called. Just basically means it sits cold with the yeast in there for a while.
Right.
And that gives you this really clean taste and it's very crisp. And lagers are harder to do because you have to manage the temperature and make sure your malt base is better. And like lager yeast shows any imperfection.
Right.
And if you pull it early, it can be kind of harsh. And this kind of has that like Zwickel.
That kind young of kind of flavor to it.
And it's a wheat beer. So I would say this is similar to like a Zwickel Weiss.
Right,
and that's, maybe it's just because it's filtered and I'm used to more body.
And I'm assuming that's what it is because it is it's like you say clean, more because it's you can pick out the flavor. It's like it's not instead of a plethora of flavors, it's like 1, 2, 3. You know what I mean?
It's very there's something interesting there that's almost tart, but I think it's just that Hefeweizen yeast and those esters playing. It's right there kind of towards the end, but banana lingers a little bit, clove lingers a little bit.
A tartness to it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Very refreshing. Like, it's true.
I think it's a great summertime beer.
Great hot weather
beer. Now it's 100 degrees, you know, 90, high 90s, almost 100s.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good outdoor beer. I mean, the other day I drank a Blue Moon light Blue Moon. It was made with tangerine orange. And, or tangerine peel, excuse me. Yeah. Instead of their typical
Valencia orange,
yeah. And it was actually a nice, refreshing, like, crushable summertime kind of beer. And you see that. You see that kind of the wheat beer is kind of what people go to because it seems to be crushable, but with, like, an orange juicy flavor to a, you know, aspect. You know,
I like wheat beers. I don't like them when it's, like, in the 90s. When it's in the 90s, like, fucking ice water and, like, PBR. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Okay.
And that's really when I think cervezas shine. Last night... we drank like Coronas and Modelos because it was like same thing. It was like 90 to 100 degrees. And I don't, dude, that's when I want like a Pilsner style beer, but specifically like I like the Mexican made Pilsners. Like Modelo is probably my favorite. You're a big fan of
Pacifico. That's my jam. Yeah.
Estrella Jalisco or, you know, whatever. They're all super good. Those Mexican.
Victoria downstairs right now.
Oh, yeah. You got absolutely. A 40 of Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like those Mexican style Pilsners, I like PBR just because. I don't know. Fuck them.
It's hard to fuck with PBR.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple. And not cheap. To knock on the name. Dude, people knock 90... on PBRs all the time. But to me, it's some of those, you know, I'll grab with Cody and I will crush a couple.
Yeah. Michael, I'd rather have that than fucking Bud Light.
I really would. Yeah, but Coors people, whatever, I asked someone about having, you know, Bud Light or like things they know, and it's just familiar. To them, it's just something they know they're going to go get a six-pack of, and they understand, they know what they're getting.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get people to get a six-pack of something else, because what if you go, and I was talking to my buddy Logan about this, if you go get a six pack of something that you don't know, you're like, hey, I'll give this a try, and first two sips you're like, yeah, this is dog shit, I just wasted $12-$15 on a six pack. But you can always go back to your Bud Light or Michelob or whatever
you used
or Blue Moon, you know, and saying like, that's I know it's safe. And that's why when Holly and I have been doing this thing where we'll go out and try new restaurants once a month, a new place, and sometimes dog shit place.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, maybe we'll try it again. We've always tried something at least twice, and we joke about our saying is, I'll try anything twice, like, you know? Because you don't know. That first time was a bad experience, but if it keeps getting bad, maybe it's just not for you.
It could have just been, you know, like a bad day.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, I agree. We try new restaurants pretty often and beers all the time, but, yeah, this one's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
This is a wheat beer that I could drink in hot weather, was my point, was I usually lean more towards, like, those – Pilsner styles, you know, PBR, whatever.
I think it's a good summertime, like pool.
Yeah. And maybe it's just because it's filtered. It doesn't seem as heavy. Wheat beers are like a good, like 80 degree pool beer for me.
Right.
But this one is, I don't know. I think it's, not bad. I'm not upset about
it. But I love the label. I think Talisman have great labels, and this label is kind of that cartoony, you know, God's hand in the creation. That's pretty cool. Creation with a K. That's pretty cool. So a little bit about Talisman. The brewing company comes out of northern Utah. Like I said, in Ogden, Utah, founders Dusty and Joanne Williams came from varying backgrounds, but they both love craft beer, so they started making it.
Hell yeah.
They asked on their website, they have, what is Talisman? A Talisman is a good luck charm. So obviously, brewmaster Dustin Williams is a
are they Australian?
Celtic descent.
Oh.
So that's what he goes, it's something I stand for. It's kind of what you believe in. It's who you are. And his wife is, you know, Joanne Williams, and and they said that symbol's of good luck, and we figured if we are opening a brewer in Utah, we probably need full-time luck.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, I mean, you know, it's, yeah, it's hard to be opening a brewery in Utah, but it seems to be doing well. I'm glad that they're, I mean, I love the Celtic style. I've always had a fascination with that Celtic kind of style.
Right.
I mean, one of my favorite bands, Breaking Benjamin, they have that Celtic knot as like their symbol, and I, you know, I told Holly, I was like, I'm gonna get a tattoo of that back when I was younger. I'm gonna get a tattoo of that, and she's like, don't do it. But it's Celtic stuff's really cool, you know. So
have you? There's a cool podcast about like Celtic history. It's called, well, it's not specifically about Celtic history, but there's an episode. The podcast is called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Okay,
for any of you out there, it's a great podcast, one of my favorites. They've got an episode on the Celtic Holocaust committed by Julius Caesar. It's pretty crazy shit.
Wow,
but they go into depth about the Celtic people. It's pretty interesting. They even talk a little bit about, like, in Ireland when St. Patrick was, like, cast the snakes out of Right? And how, like, the snakes were really all, like, Celtic mages and shit like that.
Yeah,
Essentially, they killed a bunch of native peoples right. and brought in Christianity.
And that's, like, we celebrate that. We talked about on our St. Paddy's Day episode with Cody, and that's what we celebrate.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ironic in a way. Like, we're celebrating pushing people out, like the Druids, like, pushing them out. Yeah,
Druids, that's the word I was looking for.
I'm like, but great holiday.
Yeah, it's great. great drinking holiday. Yeah.
But, I mean, Talisman, great job on that one. I say we go to the next one.
Right.
Why?
Dude, I'm enjoying drinking this. The more I drink it, the more I'm kind of getting this lemon citrus.
Pour me a little more. Let's see what's going on that one.
There's like this weird, interesting like lemon citrus that I feel like I don't usually find in Hefeweizens.
Right. But again, Kristallweizen is what they're calling it. And on their website, it's they call it their Witbier, or their, excuse me, Weissbier. And again, if you guys want to know the difference between Weissbier just means white beer.
Yeah.
And Hef is the wheat, the yeast wheat.
Doesn't Weiss... Does it mean white or wheat? Because I've heard it said to mean both.
Yeah. Separately. So what I'm looking at right now in German, Weissbier is German for white beer.
Gotcha.
And then Hefeweizen itself translates to yeast wheat in Germany. But you know, I don't get out of this one, which surprises me, is I don't get any bubble gum. And I secretly like in Hefeweizens or Weissbiers, I like to have that bubble gum taste because I love bubblegum.
Right, right.
It's just like that fake, artificial...
Yeah. I feel like that comes in really strong in a lot of Belgian beers. Like a lot of Belgian beers, Saisons, I get a lot of bubblegum.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of like one of the esters that I get. I don't usually find it as often in Hefeweizens. Like Hefeweizens are really often more that banana and clove.
Like
but
clove.
This one has a ton of like lemon citrus there.
You're right. It's got...
And that's that tart that I was getting.
You're getting that tartness out of it. And it's not like you're right. The more you drink it, the more you kind of notice it. And it's kind of nice, actually.
Yeah, I'm not upset.
I still would drink this one outside.
I think that's what makes it refreshing is that lemon citrusy kind of. And it literally, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, it tastes like someone squeezed a fucking lemon in my beer.
But it does have, it finishes like a bready note. You kind of have like a bready yeast to it.
Anytime you have
that. Not overwhelming, but.
Yeah. I feel like anytime you have that banana clove, it's hard not to get like a banana bread kind of note.
All right, Wyatt, so our next one. You
to the next.
Which one are we opening?
Coming in hop.
So this one, this one has a cool. Last time we were talking to Bristol. Bristol's dad flew over Normandy Beach to do the 75th anniversary of D-Day, right?
Yeah.
And so this one kind of reminds me of it because it has some guy in a old school World War II plane.
Yeah.
Dropping hops, coming in hop. It's pretty cool.
Pretty interesting, but I wonder what he's flying because he's got an open cockpit, but he's got four propeller engines. So is
who knows?
It's like halfway between like a Spitfire and
I think
bomber.
The cool thing about this company is veteran owned and operated. So like we were saying earlier to Brewmaster Dusty, seems to be a veteran. So Dusty, if you're happening to listen to this, you know, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
For what you did for our country and what you continue to do. And thank you for making so far a great beer.
I wonder what branch he served in.
We'll
and
reach out to him.
How he got into brewing.
That's a good one. Yeah, but I think after this COVID times, we're going to start, you know, hopefully going back to meeting more brewers and brewmasters. We were on a roll for a second, but then we got kind of smacked in the face. But off the nose, this one, hops.
Huh?
Like this one smells, it's a Sessions IPA, but you get a lot of hops off the nose. So my first judgment on this one is, I'm not going to like this. And that's, I want to be, you know, I feel like I still judge IPAs
because
they're not my go-to, right?
Yeah.
But Wyatt, read us the bottle.
Coming in Hop Session India Pale Ale. Also, Wheat India Pale Ale, depends on which part of the label you read. Triple dry hopped. First thing it says in bold letters, bigger font than anything else there. In an effort to make beer not war, we decided to drop some hop bombs. Look out, we're coming in hop. This refreshing, well-balanced, wheat-based IPA is crisp and full of amazing citrus and pine hop flavory aroma.
I like that. That's beautiful.
Sit back and enjoy this beer while we complete our mission of spreading hop love. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
Please drink responsibly.
Let's go try this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it does look like a Sessions IPA. Got a little cloudiness to it.
I like the cloudy, like really light. It looks like a hazy pale ale, but I think it's just the wheat that does that.
But and it gives it a nice taste to it, which to me is, for some reason, it captures that sense on the vision, you know, the eyes.
Yeah, I definitely get some citrus there. I'm not upset about that, but I worry that you're going to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get that citrus, that tropical citrus.
Oh, yeah, for
but
sure.
But to me, it's hella hoppy on the finish. Like two hop friends, hop bros would love this. Love this, but not my jam.
I'm not against it. I like it. It's very refreshing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of citrus and like tropical fruit. I get a little bit of pine, but not a lot. But the nose scares me a little bit because the nose might have, to me, it. What's that flavor called that has like that kind of baby diaper kind of taste to it?
Butyric acid. Yeah.
On the nose,
I think
it smells like
older,
it might
it
almost have some. Yeah. If this were like even just a couple of days older,
you hold this a little bit longer, you can get that. But again, we were talking to brewmasters about that, the butyric acid, and some people can be more sensitive to the butyric acid, especially once you know what butyric acid is.
Yep.
You can sense it better, right? It's like if you're driving down the road and you can, you know, you get that one person in the car that goes, ooh, and like what? It's like the skunk. We're really, oh, you know, like they hit it first, right? It might all hit our noses first, but someone will be more sensitive or recognize it, you know, first off. Right. And I think I get butyric acid fast, and I think you do as well, because we can sense when it starts going, it wants to be coming bad.
Yeah.
And that's just the hops degrading, and that gives that diapery smell, taste to it.
This would be one you have to drink fresh. Have to
I mean, I bet this is better fresh. I think all IPAs are better fresh, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think because of how much hops are put into it, it degrades. I mean, there's a better chance of degrading right there. Boom.
Yeah. And like any sunlight or anything. But this beer, I think, would be a great like mountain beer. Like it's too hot to want to enjoy this right now. For some reason, I don't want to enjoy hops when it's super hot. But
right.
I think it's a great beer. For like, if you're in the mountains in the summertime, maybe late summer.
You know, I'm curious to pair this one with, and we talked about this, IPAs and curry. Because I love Indian curry. So I think this would pair beautifully with it.
With a curry, you think so?
I think so. I think this will go really well with that, or some type of...
You know what I would pair this with?
Go ahead.
Trout.
Really?
Yeah, trout with like lemon, butter, and pepper, and cooked over fire to get a little bit of smokiness. I think that this is what that would pair with. Maybe like some wild rice.
I like that. But the fact that they put a wheat IPA, you can definitely get that the wheat in it. It gives it that wheat, that cloudiness. I think I'm turned off by the hoppiness of it, but I do get the citrus and tropical fruit within it.
I like the wheat body that comes with it. Like
it does have that
flavor
wheat body.
Is interesting. You could get a lot of hop. You can get a lot of citrus.
Right.
But like the flavor is kind of hits hard, but the wheat body makes me want to keep drinking this.
So that's funny about the wheat body is, does that mean you could do different bodies with different styles? Like, could you do a wheat body beer with a lager? A wheat body beer.
You'd have to be
beer.
A wheat lager.
So does it change the beer completely, or could you kind of, you know, make it into, you know what I'm saying? Like this is going to sound ludicrous, but like, a wheat-style stout? Does that sound terrible?
I wonder how you would do
it. You know
what
I mean?
Would you have to roast wheat?
Would you, or would you have to add...
The barley. Later? I don't know. It'll be interesting.
That's a good question. I want to ask somebody. Cause if anyone knows that out there, if you can make wheat beer stout... I mean, stout-flavored wheat beer or wheat-flavored stout beer, I think if you can get a stout to have a wheat body...
Yeah,
kind of like
well,
you know,
I think like an oatmeal stout.
An oatmeal stout's
the
closest, right?
Because oatmeal adds a really nice heavy body,
and it has that oaty taste
and
to it.
To me, it's more rich,
right?
So like maybe wheat.
Could you do
instead of like I would maybe if you added lactose and you made like a cream of wheat beer.
Cream of wheat beer.
Because like you got the oatmeal stout, so it would be like another breakfast kind of stout. So like the cream of wheat stout.
I'm curious. I'm gonna Google this wheat stout. While you open this last one, we have. Go ahead and read us the bottle, what you're pouring us, and I will look up a wheat-style stout, if it's even such a thing.
So the last one, and these styles seem to be all the rage nowadays, but this one is like, I've seen this one around for a couple of years, I think. They've been making this one for a while. So this is the Killer Grove Blood Orange Wheat Ale. Orange in ales. It's just something you see, it's all the rage, you know? It's,
yeah.
I wonder.
Like orange or blood orange?
So this is blood orange.
Because blood orange has that more... like tartness to it than an orange, right? Blood orange has like more kind of wants to be grapefruit almost.
I never got like that bitterness from a blood orange though. But regardless, it's my favorite kind of orange. I think they're delicious.
Blood oranges?
They look cool. Yeah. I see a lot of beers. I feel like oranges in orange flavor and orange in beer is becoming more and more popular. The first one you saw it in was, at least regularly, was what, Blue Moon, Shock Top. I remember as a kid, my dad drinking those.
Absolutely.
And this
then,
is craft beer.
Yep. Absolutely.
Now we've got another blood orange wheat ale. I wonder if it's going to be similar to Shock Top.
Possibly, because the blood orange, yep. If, for those who don't know what blood oranges are the sweet orange, but they've been infused with the tangy of the red grapefruit.
Nice.
So they have like that. People say it has like hints of tart cherries or raspberries in the orange, but it still has that sweetness of the orange. I love the sweetness of the orange.
Yeah.
Blood orange, I typically think of blood oranges, I think sangrias or ciders.
Yeah.
Slice some of that.
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead. What's the bottle? Read this caption on the Killer Grove.
Killer Grove Blood Orange Wheat Ale. This crisp and refreshing wheat beer is brewed using honey malt and blood orange. It is a balance of
honey
sweetness.
Malt.
Yeah. That pairs well with the tart blood orange. It is incredibly easy drinking, so I would be cautious when playing in the Killer Grove. Cheers.
Interesting. I wonder what that...
I like how they describe it as crisp again. I haven't tried it yet, obviously, but I don't... Crisp is not typically how I would describe... wheat beers, wheat ales.
A wheat ale, specifically, I think.
To me, they're more smooth and, like, easy to drink. Crisp is, I feel like, reserved for lagers. Like a Pilsner specifically, and you can still get it in those darker lagers, but, man, that's the defining characteristic of a lager is how crisp it is, how clean it is.
Yeah.
Wheat ale... I don't know if I would describe it as crisp. I'm a little nervous.
Let's give her a shot.
Can we talk about fruit in beer a little bit?
Absolutely.
Whoa, look at that color.
This is perfect because, I mean, oh, that does have like a blood orange color to it. Beautiful.
Right. So I've been doing a little bit of reading, and from what I can find, fruit in beer, I always thought that fruit in beer was like a really old school thing. And I knew it was like from the Belgians with their lambics. But in one of the articles that I was reading... I forget what it was, so I can't cite it. It said that the lambics, the fruit lambics with like black cherry and stuff in them, which is kind of where this article claims that the fruit in beer started, is like a 1930s creation.
1930s.
Like a pretty new thing, like
okay,
in the last 100 years. I always thought like fruit and beer and ciders and stuff, because like... ciders have been being made for hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years. Beer's been being made for thousands of years. Wine's been being made for thousands of years. In my mind, it made sense that those things would mix.
Right, absolutely.
Really naturally. And so...
because nowadays, they mix pretty commonly.
Yeah, it's really common. Fruit in beer seems like a natural evolution to me, and that it took until the 1930s. I don't know if I believe that. It makes me skeptical, but maybe in like current popular styles... it wasn't a thing until the 1930s. Maybe there was fruit in beer before, but it wasn't a widespread thing, and now it kind of is.
Okay.
But there are multiple different ways to add fruit into beer. I assume the most common is adding your fruit during the secondary fermentation, which is like after you've already gone through your mash and your boil, and everything's fermented in the beer, and then essentially you transfer it, add fruit, then it has a little secondary fermentation to get your fruit flavors.
Okay.
You can also add fruit in the boil, which is like the where you normally add the hops. You can also add fruit during the primary fermentation. You can also add fruit during the mash. Kind of depends on when you want and what kind of fruit flavors you're looking for, which is pretty interesting. Adding fruit to beer seems like a very complicated subject because beer is already complicated. And then you add something that is so flavorful and packed full of sugar... like, fruit to beer is just a crazy, crazy combination. And the fact that some people can pull that off amazes me.
Yeah.
It would be cool to get a brewmaster in who regularly adds fruit to beer. I think Sean from Strap Tank with his Gixxer smoothie sour, Derek with his orange hopsicle. And Marcio adds fruit to beer all the time. He also has an orange creamsicle type beer. that just came out.
Which I wonder I think what is a cool I wonder what orange he used.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got stuff like the cherry pie and pina colada. I wonder if he's just adding flavoring or if he's adding the actual fruit and like when he adds, like when's best to add. You know what I mean? Pretty interesting.
I mean, because it depending on the fruit, you can get that fruit where the fruit came from. You can. Some people are so good they can tell you where the fruit came from.
Right. You know like, what I mean? Oh, these are Florida oranges.
What the fuck?
Do
you know? You know
oranges.
These are Louisiana. But what the hell? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because different
think they
oranges
can still get that in a beer.
I think so. I think crazy. Where you get the fruit from, you can tell like, oh, where you got this. If you're good enough,
right?
You can be like, yeah, you can get this fruit from this certain
it's
area.
Like people
it's like
telling
wine
like
almost.
What regions wine is from.
Absolutely, because of the different acidity or different flavor notes that give off on the grapes themselves.
Right.
I think you can do that with fruit. I really do. But I'm not advanced that guy. You're not. So I looked up wheat stout. They are a thing. Some people were talking that sometimes they start as a dunkel and they somewhat end up between a porter and a stout. So just gives it wheat. Adding wheat to a stout just gives it that creaminess. And
starts
that body.
As a dunkel.
Started as a dunkel. If they use like German wheat malt with pale malt in like Munich.
Do dunkels don't usually have wheat in them, do they?
No, but they said that it's when they tried. I've been reading a bunch of them that said that a lot of people have been saying when they try to make the wheat beer, it started out as a dunkel, but then towards the end of the process, it comes out to be like a porter or stout.
Gotcha.
So it's curious to see, you know, the
so
body.
They were trying to make a wheat dunkel. And accidentally ended up with a porter stout style.
They're trying to make a wheat stout. That's what the guy was claiming. Trying to make a wheat stout. And I've seen this for three other guys. Trying to make a wheat stout. It kind of ended started as a dunkel. Very beginning. I'm assuming Wrath of Bright Tank. Maybe. I'm not sure. And then ended up somewhere between stout and porter.
Interesting.
Right. Anyway, I'll do more on that. We can talk about wheat stouts later. But I know the oatmeal stout. I love an oatmeal stout. Strap Tank had one called the Kativo.
Oh, that was great.
Which was probably my favorite. And I think it's the only one. Well, Saltfire has one. Their Black is Beautiful oatmeal stout, which we need to try soon.
Yeah.
But I'm a sucker for oatmeal stouts.
Me too.
I think that wheat that is in stouts, that creaminess of the oat in stouts, I love that. Love that.
I'll bet you could get a similar thing with the wheat. It probably wouldn't be quite as creamy, but if you added some lactose, you get like a cream of wheat. It'd be be pretty
interesting. Let's go on this one. So listen, back to the Killer Grove Blood Orange Wheat Ale. It does have that nice bloody kind of orange color to it.
Whoa. It tastes like an orange. It's very pronounced, tart and sweet.
Interesting. I get a lot of honey off that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't. Maybe I missed it, man.
Honey, and it kind of, it doesn't light my tongue out, but it just kind of goes over my tongue. Not necessarily a pillowy mouthfeel, mm-hmm. but more like a settling mouthfeel.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not fully, it's like pillowy, but then it's got a very similar texture to orange juice.
It does.
Yeah.
Without pulp. Imagine drinking orange juice without pulp.
Yeah.
I think that's the same feel you get right there, but at the very end, you kind of.
I want pulp.
It stings you with a little bit of tartness here and there.
Yeah.
You get that tartness?
Yeah, yeah.
It tastes like a cherry tart almost.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
But that wheat, you can get the wheat in there.
Yeah. I don't get any honey, though.
Honey you get at the very beginning. I get sweet honey at the very beginning.
See, I associate that sweetness with the orange.
Interesting.
Because I'm getting a lot of orange flavor. And maybe the orange juice feel. I want pulp in it, dude.
It seems like it should have pulp
in it. It should
have
some pulp. I think that pulp would finish off the body here. I think... You know what?
I like that.
Dude, pulp and orange juice is how orange juice is meant to be made.
I agree with that. Some people won't, but I agree with
right?
you on
that.
Dude,
it's all about the mouthfeel. You got to get that mouthfeel of the orange juice.
It's an experience. You got to experience the whole thing.
Do they say that pulp is like pubic hair. It only bothers the children.
I mean, it bothers some other people, too. Pubic hair.
And pulp.
But not bad. I like this one. Describe when you drink this one, Wyatt.
Describe?
Mm-hmm. A situation where you would want to pull out one of these out.
Oh, man. Brunch.
Brunch.
Yeah.
So you think of Mimosa World brunch.
Yeah. I think this would fit that very well.
I think, I mean, I was going to say the same thing, but for me, it's outside. Let me paint you a picture real quick.
Patio.
Patio. Exactly. Patio.
Misters.
I want sunny side up eggs,
mm-hmm.
a couple pieces of toast with lightly buttered on there, my pick of an orange marmalade, and I want this as my beverage.
Yeah.
And I do not drink coffee on that one. That's
no.
it. That's all I want.
Yeah.
And that pairing right there, a little bit of salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Break the yolk with the yolk and the toast. Chase it with this. Boom.
Yeah. orange marmalade is key there, because I think the orange marmalade is really going to help elevate this.
Yeah.
I would
marmalade typically
follow
has...
this with cappuccinos after.
After, but not during the meal.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
Cappuccinos or espresso.
You can do it before
around
or after.
Like noon.
But yeah. I would not bring coffee into this scenario, but I think you nailed it. A brunch beer. That's a great brunch beer. Talisman, great job. Dusty, yeah. Great job.
I'm pretty pleased with all three of these.
Yeah.
I don't know what one was my favorite. They all had highs and lows.
I think the creation was my favorite because it reminds me. I mean, I love a true Hefeweizen or a Weiss beer. Like, I love that style. I really do.
The creation, I think, would be a great pool beer. Like, I want to go out to the pool,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I want to drink there.
Yeah, obviously, my least favorite was the IPA sessions, just because to me it was. I'm not a hop. I'm biased towards not hops like that.
Yeah,
I know my crew would hate it, but the Blood Orange.
I think it would be a great fishing beer, like a great high mountain fishing beer.
I can see
beer.
That up in the creeks or whatever, streams off the mountain.
Dude,
yeah,
trout.
Absolutely.
It that beer pairs with trout and the places you find trout.
I can see that.
Like, trout aren't usually in places that are too hot.
Right.
Like, it's hard to catch trout when it's too hot. Middle of the day, you're not going to catch a trout. But you are if you're up high enough and it's not too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a... kind of like higher mountain fishing kind of beer.
And great. I mean, if that's your, I think you're a hops fan, this is your jam, go for it.
You got to have pine trees around you, otherwise you're not going
to
like
to.
It.
But Talisman, I think great job. Again, for those who are curious about this type of beers we drink, let us know. Talisman, if you're listening to us, let us know what other beers you'd like us to try. You guys have over 14 beers. Processed. Some of them you can get in the liquor store because they're higher points, and you get a lot in the store themselves. Great bottles, beautiful designs. If you guys have questions, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, let us know. But besides that, Wyatt, do you have anything else for us on this one?
Dude, I think I'm good.
So until the next Hefeweizen, bro.
Until then. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of the Tastemasters. Like us, follow us, share us, tell your friends. Next time you have a drink, tell us about it. Drink it, you know, let us know what it tastes like. Tell us if we should try something new. You can find us at tastemastersdrink.com. You can also find us on Instagram at the_tastemasters, or on Facebook, we are the Tastemasters. Thanks for listening again.